the fact of her existence. Jumping up from her seat, she let down the window and stuck her head out, withdrawing it a moment later with the brief and forcible ejaculation, "Hell!" Now, I am old-fashioned. A woman, I consider, should be womanly. I have no patience with the modern, neurotic girl who jazzes from morning to night, smokes like a chimney, and uses language which would make a Billingsgate fishwoman blush. I looked up, frowning slightly, into a pretty, impudent face surmounted by a rakish little red hat. A thick cluster of black curls hid each ear. I judged that she was little more than 17, but her face was covered with powder, and her lips were quite impossibly scarlet. Nothing abashed, she returned my glance and executed an expressive grimace. "Dear me, we've shocked the kind gentleman," she observed to an imaginary audience. "I apologize for my language, most unladylike and all that, but, oh, Lord, there's reason enough for it. Do you know, I've lost my only sister." "Really?" I said politely. "How unfortunate." "He disapproves," remarked the lady. "He disapproves utterly of me and my sister, which last is unfair because he hasn't seen her." I opened my mouth, but she forestalled me. "Say no more. Nobody loves me. I shall go into the garden and eat worms. Boo-hoo! I'm crushed!" She buried herself behind a large comic French paper. In a minute or two, I saw her eyes stealthily peeping at me over the top. In spite of myself, I could not help smiling. And in a minute she had tossed the paper aside and had burst into a merry peal of laughter. "I knew you weren't such a mutt as you looked," she cried. Her laughter was so infectious that I could not help joining in, though I hardly cared for the word mutt. "There, now we're friends," declared the minx. "Say you're sorry about my sister." "Oh, I'm desolated." "That's a good boy. Let me finish. I was going to add that, although I am desolated, I can manage to put up with her absence very well." I made a little bow. But this most unaccountable of damsels frowned and shook her head. "Cut it out. I prefer the dignified disapproval stunt." "Oh, your face! Not one of us," it said. "And you were right there, though, mind you, it's pretty hard to tell nowadays. It's not everyone who can distinguish between a demi and a duchess. There now, I believe I've shocked you again. You've been dug out of the backwoods, you have. Not that I mind that. We could do with a few more of your sort. I just hate a fellow who gets fresh. It makes me mad." She shook her head vigorously. "What are you like when you're mad?" I inquired with a smile. "A regular little devil. Don't care what I say or what I do either. I nearly did a chap in once. Yes, really. He'd have deserved it too." "Well," I begged, "don't get mad with me." "I shan't. I like you. Did the first moment I set eyes on you. But you looked so disapproving that I never thought we'd make friends." "Well, we have. Tell me something about yourself." "I'm an actress. No, not the kind you're thinking of. I've been on the board since I was a kid of six, tumbling." "I beg your pardon," I said, puzzled. "Haven't you ever seen Child Acrobats?" "Oh, I understand. I'm American-born, but I've spent most of my life in England. We've got a new show now." "We? My sister and I. Sort of song and dance, and a bit of patter, and a dash of the old business thrown in. It's quite a new idea, and it hits them every time. There's going to be money in it." My new acquaintance leaned forward and discoursed volubly, a great many of her terms being quite unintelligible to me. Yet I found myself evincing an increasing interest in her. She seemed such a curious mixture of child and woman. Though perfectly worldly wise and able, as she expressed it, to take care of herself, there was yet something curiously ingenuous in her single-minded attitude towards life and her wholehearted determination to make good. We passed through Amiens. The name awakened many memories. My companion seemed to have an intuitive knowledge of what was in my mind. "Thinking of the war?" I nodded. "You were through it, I suppose." "Pretty well. I was wounded once, and after the Somme they invalided me out altogether. I'm a sort of private secretary now to an MP. "My, that's brainy." "No, it isn't. There's really awfully little to do. Usually a couple of hours every day sees me through. It's dull work, too. In fact, I don't know what I should do if I hadn't got something to fall back on." "Oh, don't say you collect bugs." "No, I share rooms with a very interesting man. He's a Belgian, an ex-detective. He's set up as a private detective in London, and he's doing extraordinarily well. He's really a marvellous little man. Time and time again, he's proved to be right where the official police have failed.